Commissioner King, thanks for joining us on what's probably your last interview here because you're moving on to a new job. Yes. First of all, can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing after the first of the year?
Sure. So I'm honored to be joining the President and Secretary Duncan. I will be taking over the responsibilities of the Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of Education, which oversees a variety of areas of work of the Department of Education, elementary and secondary education, the Office of Innovation, the role of the department in the My Brother's Keeper initiative that the President has launched, so a variety of projects.
So New York State's been good training for controversy, if nothing else. You've been here at a very tumultuous time. As you're leaving, what do you think that you've left behind that you've achieved here?
Yeah. We've gotten a lot done over the last 5.5 years since I joined the department. I'm most proud of the work that we've done to raise standards. It has certainly been challenging, but it's the right thing to do to ensure that our students are ready to succeed in college and careers when they graduate from high school. So the work on standards, we've done a lot of work on teacher preparation, improving teacher preparation, raising the bar for entry to the teaching profession, a lot of work on teacher professional development, evaluation in the context of professional development, and then more recently work on expanding access to career and technical education, expanding access to high quality pre-K, a lot of work on ensuring that we serve our English language learners well. So it's been a busy 5.5 years, but I think we have moved things forward.
Now, Governor Cuomo wrote you a letter this week. It wasn't the usual, hey, thanks for your great work, good luck with the new job. He was demanding answers about making changes to education policy. First of all, are you going to answer that letter? He named a number of specific things in there.
Well, Chancellor Tisch indicated yesterday that we are eager to work with the governor to continue to advance an education reform agenda, and we'll certainly have a response for him. I think the key thing is that the governor is looking ahead to the legislative session mm-hmm. and the priorities in the coming legislative session. He said he's committed to moving education reform forward next year, and that's a good thing.
But one of his big questions was why are 99% of the teachers in the state rated as effective or highly effective when the tests show that two-thirds of the kids were essentially failing the English and math tests, or at least not performing up to standards? That's like a major disconnect. And how do you answer that?
Well, you know, you've got a couple things going on. One is the evaluation system is really focused on growth. Are students making progress? And we knew when we changed to more challenging mm-hmm. assessments that students' performance level, their proficiency level, wouldn't be as high. But the question now is how do we move forward from there to ensure that students reach college and career readiness, which is our goal. So growth is an aspect. But the other larger point is that I think it's fair to say that there were districts that did not really use the evaluation system to differentiate performance. We know there are districts where every teacher was observed was rated highly, almost every teacher was observed was rated highly effective yeah. by their principal. That's a problem, requires a change in the law, and we are certainly supportive of the governor moving forward to change the law.
Well, it almost seems like the teacher evaluations were designed just to make the teachers look good no matter what.
Well, it varies a lot district to district. So you could see in New York City, for example, the percentage of highly effective teachers was under 10. But in other districts, the percentage of highly effective yeah. teachers in some cases was over 50, was over 75. I mean, you had districts that were essentially unwilling to use the evaluation system yeah, to differentiate performance.
In New York City, it was a little less. That was a program that you kind of imposed on them, right, because they couldn't make a deal with the unions. Do you think that made a difference?
Certainly, I think it was helpful that we were able at the state level through an arbitration process to set some of the standards. And I think as we move forward, one of the things to look at will be lessons to draw from the New York City evaluation that differed from some of the evaluations upstate.
But does it need a major upheaval, do you think?
I think the law needs revision to ensure that the law accomplishes what the governor and legislature intended, which is supporting good professional development, identifying those who are most effective so they can be mentors and coaches for their colleagues, and ultimately identifying those who are struggling so they can get support to get better.
Is it doing that now, though?
Not yet. And I think it's an evolving process, but the law needs revision. And certainly the governor has said that he intends to strengthen the law in the next legislative session, and the department and Board of Regents will work with him on that.
On Common Core, New York State fast-tracked it. Seemed like a good idea at the time, but you experienced tremendous blowback. I mean, personally, you were at meetings where people were yelling at you, teachers and parents and students. In retrospect, do you think that maybe you tried to push too hard too soon and the community wasn't on board?
You know, I think there were ways that at the outset back 5.5 years ago, particularly when we were doing Race to the Top, and we asked districts to commit.
Which is the federal grant money, right? That New York competed for and won.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so as part of Race to the Top, districts had to commit to a plan for implementation of higher standards. In retrospect, at the outset of Race to the Top, I think it would have been useful to have allocated state funds and also committed districts to doing more work around helping parents understand how the new standards were different, what was changing about the math curriculum, so forth. But in the end, as a country, I worry not that we're moving too quickly, but that we're moving too slowly to get to higher standards. What we know from the Massachusetts experience, where I was a teacher and a principal, in the mid to late 90s, they raised standards very dramatically. Initially, people's reaction, particularly to new assessments, was similar to New York's. A lot of concern, a lot of anxiety, but Massachusetts stayed resolute, and ultimately today Massachusetts is at the top of performance in the country because they were resolute about higher standards.
So what more needs to be done to get the teachers, teachers union, school boards, essentially the rest of the community on board with Common Core?
It's interesting, you know, there's a lot of support for higher standards across really every sector of the of education in New York State. The challenge is certainly assessments. There's a the variety of views about standardized tests, and that has gotten conflated with the Common Core.
That's right. People worry there's just too many tests. I mean, is there too many tests for kids? Are they just put under too much pressure with these tests and with teachers feeling that they have to teach to the test?
We certainly worry that at the local level, there are some districts that have added on tests beyond what's informing good instruction. One of the things we've done with our Race to the Top funding is to have a grant called Teaching is the Core, which is for principals, teachers, parents, to look at the assessments that are given in a given district, evaluate whether or not all of those assessments are necessary, whether they're getting at the right things to inform instruction. And in many cases, districts are reducing their assessments that they've created locally as a result of that grant.
Now, what about charter schools? There's been talk of lifting the cap and allowing more charter schools. Are you for that? And I think that's one of the, to go back to the letter that Governor Cuomo sent you, that's one of the questions that he gave for you to answer as you leave.
Yeah, I think our operating principle should be we want to grow the number of seats in high-quality schools for high-need students. And any arbitrary obstacle to increasing the number of high-quality seats is a bad idea. Now, at the same
time, does that include the cap?
Well, where we are now is that we actually have charters remaining under the current cap in New York City. We also have many charters remaining under the cap outside of New York City. Mm-hmm. So legislature could take a number of approaches here. It's really a matter for the governor and legislature. Mm-hmm. But, for example, they could allow all of the charters that are remaining under the current cap to be used anywhere in the state, so that the demand for additional charters in New York City could be met in that way. But again, from my perspective, the key thing is there should be no arbitrary obstacle in the way of increasing the number of high-quality seats.
Which are better, charter schools or the public schools?
Well, first, charter schools are public schools,
yeah,
right? They're just a
true
different governance model. Mm-hmm. But second, I would say there are very successful district schools. There are very successful charter schools. We should learn from their best practices. There are also struggling charter schools, some that are failing that need to be closed. We've closed some at the Board of Regents, and I suspect there will be others that will close going forward. And there are district schools that are struggling, and they should either be turned around or, in some cases, they may also have to close. The key thing is every student has a right to a high-quality education, and we've got to make sure that every school is providing that.
Now, the last question is on education funding. The Board of Regents recommended $2 billion more dollars for school funding. The governor's already kind of said he might not be that receptive to spending more money. I guess the central question is, does money make a difference? Does it make a difference in kids' education?
Money certainly is important. It's sort of a necessary but not sufficient condition for improved performance. So we want to make sure that we're investing in the right things. We certainly supported the governor's large investment in pre-K last year. I think we should build on that. We think it's important to invest more funding in serving English language learners well. That's a population of students that's growing and struggling, and we've got to provide more support there. And we've got to get at issues of equity and ensure that our highest needs districts that don't have the local tax base get the support they need from the state in order to provide a high-quality education.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks, Dr. King, for joining us, and good luck in your new job.
Thanks so much.
Now we'll send it back to Matt at the desk.